C-minus 83. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. A flashing notification on Dan's wall-mounted trend ticker alerted him to a piece of footage which was going viral at a remarkable pace. The incident, a run-in between Western Tortoise and GSC staff near Lake Namso, didn't strike him as overly important. A storm in a teacup, he thought. Dan cared far more about the recent news that Billy Kendrick was now safely out of the GSC's makeshift holding cell, news he had heard directly from Billy in a short but friendly phone call in which Billy shared every detail he remembered of the remarkable bolide. His tone was almost euphoric as he spoke about the beautiful and life-affirming sight of the meteor as it sped to its death high above Kerguelen. There had also been a piece of news about Dan's friend Timo Fiori, who had supposedly moved a major announcement forward by a full week and would soon be addressing the world's press to reveal something that he promised would exceed their expectations. But what Dan had been most interested in throughout the night was the emergence of hard observational data regarding the Kerguelen bolide itself. The best estimates, so far reported only by journalists rather than authoritatively published by any GSC facilities, placed the meteor at 15 to 18 meters in diameter and stated its estimated kinetic energy to have been around 20 times greater than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Both of these numbers were slightly below those of the incident at Chelyabinsk, which captured the world's attention in February of 2013, but Kerguelen's was nevertheless a bona fide super bolide, ranking comfortably in the top five modern examples. Obvious media comparisons were made throughout the night to not only the Chelyabinsk super bolide, but also to the less understood but highly intriguing Tunguska event of a century earlier. Closer to home, the Great Daylight Fireball of 1972, an Earth-grazing asteroid which passed within 35 miles of the planet's surface before escaping the atmosphere 1,000 miles from its entry point, was cited as a similarly awe-inspiring event. But as interesting as the grainy images of that fireball were, the clear skies and unobstructed vistas around Kerguelen, allied with massive advances in mobile photography, ensured that the footage of the previous day's super bolide was the best ever seen, effortlessly blowing any billion-dollar special effects budget out of the water. Dan rolled his eyes a few times when the news media exhibited their penchant for fear-mongering, lacking concern partly because he had a first-hand understanding of how they operated, but mainly because he knew there was nothing to be scared of. He understood that fear itself could become a problem at some point if people became hysterical amid the media's best efforts to revive the narrative of potential hostility, but this concern was mild. After all, he had to believe that the messengers were too smart to ever let it get to that stage. Several requests for interviews arrived in Dan's dormant social media accounts, but his desire to engage with anyone could not have been lower. Via the social media meta-analysis software on his computer, a purchase inspired by the powerful app he'd first seen on Emma's phone, Dan could track how often he was discussed across all platforms. He saw a few very noticeable spikes from the previous 12 hours, with the highest coming after a name check by Joe Crabb during the professional agitator's appearance on Blitz News. It pleased Dan that his discussion-based popularity now spiked when other people mentioned him, rather than the other way around, as used to be the case. His efforts to maintain a low profile throughout the past year had evidently paid off, and he didn't normally mind the occasional mention from someone like Crabb, because, as the long-term trend graphs showed, the attention always faded quickly enough. This time, however, he had a feeling it would be different. This time the attention wouldn't stay faded for long, he thought, because something told him that the Kerguelen bolide was just the first stage of a much broader happening. Dan couldn't pretend he wasn't disappointed that nothing else had happened overnight, whether it was another bolide or whatever else, but he still refused to even consider the possibility of coincidence. Kerguelen was too remote for that, as pretty much everyone else seemed to agree. But he had an even stronger reason to be confident. To Dan, the near paralyzing twinge in his neck during the incident could only mean one thing. The messengers had intervened. The messengers, without doubt, were close.